Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 28. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Out of my sight, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and for all your provisions. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather here, Lord, once again to hear your word. We just ask, Lord, that you open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, that we may hear your word and apply it in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship in this church and for this congregation. We give the rest of the time in your hands, Lord. In your name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've heard people say, or young people say these days, thank you, that it is cool to be a Christian. It's cool. Well, I just don't know what they mean by cool. It's cool? No, they don't mean that. They mean exciting, yes. And actually, the churches today have emphasized the fact that church can be cool, could be exciting, and church can be a place where you can feel good and be entertained. And you know what? That may be true, but that's not the main mission of the church, and that wasn't the main mission of Jesus Christ. Jesus had come with a mission. His mission was to die for the human race. But when Jesus told his disciples that the time was near for him to die, Peter quickly takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Well, I suppose Peter wanted to make it look good and sound good and make Jesus feel good. But no one or nothing would have stopped Jesus from carrying his cross and dying for us. So Peter's words, as well meant as they were, would only cause more pain to Jesus and be hindrance to him. Likewise, every Christian believer is called to take up his or her cross and follow Christ, our Lord, who willingly carried his cross for us. Whatever the cross is, it must be carried. This is extreme discipleship, a call to submit to Christ's will. When we confess Christ as our Savior, it means He is our Lord. We need to commit, and follow Him, leaving behind all that hinders and causes us to go astray. Satan often will try to hinder our walk and deflect us from the pathway of obedience. And unless we have the mind in mind, the things of God, discouragement will set in, and like Apostle Paul, we may tell God, never. Never, Lord, this shall never happen. But Jesus said to Peter, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? The meaning is clear. If you are not following Christ, you are a loser. If you are not on God's side and following Christ, your life is aimless. No matter how many times you go to church, no matter how involved you are in Christian activities and Christianity and religiosity, and no matter how many memberships you have and Christian clubs and how much money you give, unless you are following Christ, your life is an aimless life. To be on God's side is to be with God, but how can we get there, you may ask? For Apostle Thomas, that was the crucial question. After Jesus had risen from the tomb, Thomas asked, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? John 14, verse 5. To which Jesus replied, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Even though many preach today that there are many tunnels, many roads, many religions that lead to God, you don't have to be a Protestant or a Catholic or a Greek Orthodox or even born again believer, anything, everything, as long as you believe in a God. But the Bible is very clear. There is no other way to God the Father. Jesus has shown us God the Father and the way to Him. And He has promised to help us get there. But time is not ours. We can never be sure of tomorrow. Now is the time to find our way to the Father. Now is the time to be with Jesus on God's side. Now is the time to take the test and ask, what am I doing with my life? Is what I'm doing with my life Christ-like? Am I seeing with His eyes? Am I feeling with His heart? Am I responding to all with all compassion and His compassion? Am I living with His love? In other words, am I following Christ? Am I on God's side? To be a Christian is not to belong to a club, is not belonging to a church. And I keep saying this almost every Sunday, and you may say, ask the question, why is he repeating himself Sunday after Sunday that we must follow Christ? But the truth is that the Bible says that. Follow me. Jesus said that. So if our Master and Lord, whose name is our basic principle in our church, we call ourselves Christians, said it, then that's what I say too. We must follow Christ. In terms of our relationship with God, it is we who are in constant need of change, not God. God is constant. He is changeless. God is always on our side. Where can I go from your spirit, King David cried out? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me And that reminds us of Jonah. Jonah was fleeing, was running away from God. Instead of going to Spain, he went to Iraq in modern countries. And while he was fleeing, he thought he could get away from God. But how can you run away from God? God is everywhere. And even in the belly of the fish, he realized finally that he was not able to get rid of God. God was always there. If there is one thing many fear more than the death, or more than death, it is the fear of a God who keeps following us, hounding us, calling us to his side. There is a play in which a troubled man spends his whole life tormented by thoughts of God, feelings of his own inadequacy and sin, and feelings of guilt. Finally, he decides to end it all, to finally put a stop to the voices and dreams and the late night visions and inner torment. All reminders of an ever-present God in his life. In the final scene of this play, the man, unable to deal with this torture, he grabs a gun and puts a bullet through his head. Immediately after the explosion, the stage goes totally dark. When the lights go back on, the audience sees the man lying on the stage and the gun next to his body. Behind him sits a white-robed man at the desk. "Gabriel, bring me the file of Joe Smith," he says. Then the man lying on the stage struggles to his feet. The man behind the desk speaks to him. "Well, Mr. Smith," he says, "so much for your theatrics. Now let's get down to business. We have got all the time in the world," and the play ends. For some people, the real hell of life may not be the thought that they are without God, or that there may be no God, but rather the realization that they cannot get rid of God. All of us must remember that our business with God is not over until he says it's over. But the question is, what kind of an end, and what will be the end when God says it's all over? All of us must also remember that because God loves us so much, he will not leave us alone until it's over. I mean, life is over, and then we stand before God. Man, in Hebrews 9:27, we read, man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. There is no purgatory. There is no second chance. There are no ways of buying salvation for those who are dead. The Bible is very clear. Man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. If you are a true follower of Christ, a born-again believer, and waiting for that appointment with him, verse 28 of Hebrews 9 is your assurance. So Christ, and I quote, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Those who are waiting for him. Whether it is in the day-to-day little deaths that come to us all, or to the death that comes on the last day of our life, God, our loving Father, will not leave us, the redeemed believers, alone. God is with us. God is for us. God loves us. But there is no way that we can appreciate that awesome truth and take strength from it if we are not walking with Christ and reflecting God's love in our human relationships. That's what it means to be on God's side. No matter what you do in life, no matter what position you may obtain, no matter what you might come to own, if you leave God out, the time will come when you realize it all is nothing. Nothing. Jesus asks, What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Most people do not reflect on this great question Jesus asked. However, many do know the feel of the question or a similar question to it. For instance, I work day and night to get ahead, but now my children are gone and I barely know them. Was it really worth it? I had to stop on a lot of toes to get elected to office. Now that I am here, it is lonely. If I could do it all over again, would I do the same thing? I always put career ahead of anything else. Yet, I've done nothing for the Lord or His kingdom. All I am left with is regrets. I spent so much time on sports and recreation, I had no time left for church. And again, these questions cannot be answered at the end when we meet God. These questions have to be answered right now. Am I following Christ? And if I'm following Christ, can I compromise? Can I take a time off and go and have a little thing here, a little thing, a little cheating here, a little lying there, a little forgetting to go to church, a little not praying, a little not reading the Bible, a little being nasty, whatever. But I am following Christ anyway, and I'll catch up with Him. No, we can't do that. The Bible says that we must follow Jesus. And there will come a time that we'll look back and look and see that there were many opportunities that we have missed in pleasing God. May God help each one of us to re-examine our life and our walk with Christ before it's too late. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much. Thank You for reminding us once again that we may reach the top. We may gain many things. We may be respected in the world, in the marketplace, and yet if we lose our soul, we have gained nothing. Touch each one of us this morning. Restore our soul's joy and happiness. If someone has lost that assurance of salvation, Lord, or if someone is struggling with a lot of things that have hindered his or her spiritual life, please help this person. And prepare each one of us, Lord, this morning for the communion service, and may we all examine ourselves and rededicate our lives to You. In Your blessed name I pray, amen.